Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Gittin Daf Chaf. We are holding on daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. We are at Amar Ravina, the third to last skinny line on daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. Today's show is once again sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, and the Ilan Nishmas' mother, Golda Basimcha Aleha Shalom. We thank him very much for continuing sponsoring the Daf Yomi Shir each and every day. So we were in the middle of a discussion about people needing to be able to read the get and to write the get and to sign their names. So the Gemara is going to talk about what if a get was not read by the Edim before it was delivered. Do we assume that such a get is pasul or kasher? Then the Gemara is going to discuss if a man goes and gives a sefer Torah to his wife and says Areze Giteich, or if a man goes and gives a parchment to his wife and throws it toward her, and then we look afterwards and we find a mezuzah there. So is there any tzad to say that such a get would be possible if it seems that he gave her a mezuzah, or it seems that he gave her a sefer Torah? The Gemara is going to have a machlokas, whether the machlokas Rabbi Yudan the Rabbanan about ksav al gabe ksav by a sefer Torah is connected to the machlokas of ksav al gabe ksav by a get, meaning is it fundamental to what's called ksiv? If you write on top of already existing writing, is that machlokas about a sefer Torah really fundamental to what we would consider to be a ksav at all? Then the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time discussing the difference between the chaktochos and chakirechos, meaning the possibility of carving out or etching the ksav of a get. So when would that be kosher, when would it not be? Certainly ink on parchment is kosher, but what if you engrave a get on some sort of tablet? So would that be kosher or not? And the Gemara is going to get into some details about different methods of engraving and which ones would be considered ksav, which ones would not. We're going to compare it to the tzitz, which also had to have words that were kosuv on the tzitz. So how exactly did they make the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol? The Gemara is going to discuss if, let's say, you give a golden get, a get that's written on a piece of gold, and you say, here's your get and your ksuba, because it's worth a lot. So is that a valid payment of the ksuba? Is it a valid get? And we're going to talk about what if you have the opposite, that the parchment of the get is Yisurei Hana'ah, so it has no value whatsoever. Is that a valid get? What if the guy says, here, I'm giving you this get, but I want the paper back. So is that considered, or I'm keeping the paper, Haniyar Shali, is that considered to be that he gave her a valid get? The Gemara discusses, what if you see a get tattooed on the arm of an Eved, and she has possession of the Eved, but last we knew, this Eved belonged to him. Can we assume that he actually gave it to her, or do we just assume that the Eved escaped and that the Eved just ended up in her house, even though he never actually gave it to her? The Gemara is going to talk about what about a tablet that belonged to a woman, and we knew it belonged to the woman, and then the husband has a get written on that tablet. Should we assume that since the paper has to belong to the husband, that it's an invalid get, or do we assume that of course she was makna the tablet to the husband, so that it would be a valid get? So, Be'ez Hashem, we'll get to all of that today. So let's begin with Amar Ravina, third to last skinny line on Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis. Amar Ravina, Amar Li Ameimar, Hachi Amar Mireimar Mishmei D'Rav Dimi. Mireimar Mishmei D'Rav Dimi said the following, Hani Beitrei, if you have two Edim, Diyav Gita Kamayu, that the get was given in front of them, Trichi L'Mikriyei, they need to read the get before the giving of the get. And Tosos points out that if they didn't, then it's Ein Zeget, and she's not allowed to get remarried. But B'dievet, if she did get remarried based on such a get where the Edim didn't read the get, then there are three deos. Tosos in his first teret suggests that Lo Teitzei, that she does not have to get divorced if she got remarried based on such a get, and even if the shtar was burnt or lost, Im Nises Lo Teitzei. Then Tosos in their second teretz in the Sheet of the Ramban and the Rashba also says Shem Nises Teitzei, that if she gets remarried based on such a get, she will need to get divorced. And then the third sheet is Rabbin Yeruchim, who's Mechalik, whether it was never an Israf or not. That if it was never an Israf, Im Nises Teitzei, if the get is no longer here and she got remarried based on that get, she'll have to get divorced. As opposed to if it's still around, that the document's still around, then Im Nises Lo Teitzei. So those are three basic sheetos from Rishonim, b'di'eved. But certainly, if they did not write the get, then it's asura. They did not read the get. Rather, the edim did not read the get. It's asura li'inase. She's not allowed to get remarried based on such a get. So the Gemara asks on Rav Dimi, we have a brisa. Meisvei, we learned in the brisa that the husband gives a shtar to his wife, and he says, Hareze giteich, this is your get. Unetaltu zarak to liyam, and she takes it right away and throws it into the ocean. Ola'ur, she throws it into a fire. Ola'kol davar aved, she throws it into anything that destroys it immediately. V'chazer v'yamar, then after the get was lost, the husband says, oh, by the way, shtar pasimu, shtar amanuhu, it wasn't really a get, it was just some other form of a shtar, and now we have no way to check because it's gone. So Megoreshes v'lo kalim en losra, we assume that she is divorced, the husband is not believed to answer her. But v'yamar tzrich l'mikri abasa t'kriya mimat yamar l'achi. But if you say that the edim need to read the get before it's delivered, how could he even have a havamin of coming with such a taina? Then he's going to say, no, it wasn't even a get, it was just stam, mishtar pasim, mishtar amana. Edim saw it, edim read it. So it says, mel tzricha debasa t'kriya, aylu l'bayade v'afke. Now what happened was, edim read it, he put it in his pocket, and then he pulled out a paper from his pocket again and gave her that paper. So we thought the whole time when he pulled out of his pocket was the same paper he put into his pocket, which the agent just read, which was the get. But now he's claiming, I did a switch. Quick sleight of hand, and I switched it for a different document. So that's the case. I might have thought that if the husband claims that it was switched, that we should believe him. So Kamash Milan, that's why he has to tell me, no, she's Mugreshas, Lo Kalimani, he's not going to be able to answer her in such a way. So that's what the Bryce is telling me, that we're not choshesh that he was machlif for another shtar. He's not neman to say that it was a shtar pasim or shtar amana. She is in fact megureshes. The Rishonim all point out, Tosfos and the Rambam and the Rashba, that in the case where the Edom read the get and the Baal hides the get before the Mesiras get, then it's the Edom's responsibility to read the get again, even though the Gemara comes to the conclusion that if they don't, and he puts it into his pocket, he pulls something else out, he's not going to be believed to claim it's something else. But why even open the door to such a claim? L'chadchila, they should read it again, so that they keep their eyes on it from the moment that they read it until they see that it's delivered. So the Gemara tells the story, Yahu Gavra, Dezorkal Gitel Debitu. There was a guy that threw a get to his wife in his wife's chatzer. Not that she actually caught it, but it landed in her chatzer. Lebeni Dani, and it landed among a bunch of barrels of wine, or barrels of anything. So Shtakach Mezusta, they looked in between the barrels, and they found the mezuzah there. So Amrav Nachman, mezuzah beni dani lo shchicha. Why would a mezuzah be among a bunch of barrels? It must be that's the document that he just threw to her. It was not a get, and therefore she's not divorced, and you need a new get. That's if they find one mezuzah. He threw one piece of parchment to her, and we look among the barrels, and we find one mezuzah and nothing else. So then we assume what he threw to her just now was a mezuzah. Aval shtayim shalosh, but if you find two or three mezuzahs there, someone must have dumped a bunch of mezuzahs there. So midaha havai, from the fact that obviously at least one of them was there the whole time. Hanami havai, we can assume all of these mezuzahs were there the whole time, and none of them were the document that the husband just threw to her. The husband must have really thrown her the get. So v'gita emar achbarim shaklua. Well, if the husband threw her again, how come we can't find it? So we assume that among a bunch of barrels of food, there must be achbarim around. So an achbar, a mouse, came and took the get away. That's the assumption that we make. For the Rashi sounds like, and the Ritva says explicitly, that, and she's Mugureshes Pitoris Vadai, which is quite a chiddush. We don't have a get. We don't know that there was a get. He claimed that there was a get. We're finding a bunch of mezuzahs. We didn't find the get. We're so sure that an achbar came and took the get. That's the Shita of Rashi and the Ritva. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Gerushin Parakal V'Halacha Chavei says, Safek Mugureshes. And that's the Shita of the Ramban and the Rashba, the Shita of Kamonim and the Ran. So, and that's the, it's Meduya, because it's Eimor Achbarim Shaklua, not Bivadai Achbarim Shaklua. And maybe it's possible, we might say, that Achbarim took it, but not that she's divorced Betoris Vadai. Hu Gavra, another story, to Beikanishta, there was a guy that went into the shul, Vishakal Sefer Torah, he walked right up to the Aron, he took out a Sefer Torah, Yavlo the Debitu, and he gave the Sefer Torah to his wife, Varmala, Hagiteich, and he says to her, here's your get. So I'm Rav Yosef, Lamai Leich Lashla. Why would I be at all concerned for a get in such a case? If the concern is that they're a May Milin, maybe on the reverse side of the cloth, he wrote a get with May Milin, with gallnut juice, saying May Milin, I'll have May Milin. That's for sure not a ksiva, because the parchments that we use for Sefer Torah are pre-treated with May Milin anyway. So if they're pre-treated with May Milin, then May Milin is not considered a ksav on such a parchment. Vimishum krisus dispa, oh no, you're going to tell me that it's a get because there is a parsha of gittin in the Torah, and it says in Dvarim Chavdalid, v'kosav la sefer krisus, v'nosan biyada, v'shilcha bibeso, v'yatzim beso v'olcha, and that's going to be the get. Well, it's not lishma, and therefore it's no good, because the Sefer Torah, or the parsha written in the Sefer Torah, is not written lishma. The Maram Shif raises the question, if that nusach was written in the get, it wouldn't help anyway. So what's the possibility? I mean, that's not the text of a get, that's just the psukim that describe a get. It's very difficult. The Gemara is going to raise that, but the Maram Shif says, yeah, well, the Gemara could have given that answer, it's just tried to give a different reason why it shouldn't be good, which is very strange. What the Havamina would be. You know, in Sota we had such Havamina when we spoke about erasing the Parsha Sota. So we spoke about what is a Daf Chaf? What if you have a Parsha Sota that's written Shalol L'Shma? Right? So we had a Machlokas. What does it mean written Shalol L'Shma? So one case that they had a Machlokas about was if it was written L'Shem Isha Acheres. So that's at least written L'Shem Sota, just not L'Shem this Sota. But another case we had a Machlokas was that they take the Parsha Sota of a Sefer Torah. So we said, yeah, maybe that there's room to argue that that's okay because it was written Stam, and now I'm attaching significance to it for it being a Parsha Sota. But at least that's the same word, so it makes more sense to have that conversation. It's the same word. Over here, it's not even the same words at all, so that's a little bit difficult. V'chi tema, maybe you're going to say, Lechashtilma Akdim V'yav Le'zuza L'Safra Me'ikara, then maybe you have to be Choshesh that it was written Lishma, because maybe when the husband commissioned to have the Sefer Torah written, he told the sofer, here, I'm giving you some extra money, have in mind my wife that, you know, when you write the Parsha of Gittin, Habi'inan Shma, Shemiro, V'Shemiro, V'Lecha. What are you talking about? It's missing all the information. Doesn't have his name, doesn't have her name, doesn't have the name of their city. So it's Pasha that's not going to be a kosher get. There is a Machlok Rishonim with that din that you need, Shma, all these details. Is that a din mida oraisa? And if you don't have it, it's possible in a Torah. Is that only a din mida rabbanan? And it's only possible mida rabbanan if you don't have shmo ushma. Tosla sounds like that according to Reb Meir, who holds that you need muchach mitocha get, that it needs to be muchach mitocho, that ploni is being megarish plonis, so then you need shmo ushma min haTorah. Because if you don't have it, then it's not muchach mitocha get. But according to the Rabbanan, that it doesn't need muchach mitocho, it would only be possible midrabbanan. The Mordechai quotes the Rav Yah that according to Rav Lazar, the lady Mesira Karti, even if it doesn't have the Shema Ish V'Isha Beget, it's going to be kosher, because there are Edim Lefanenu, who are Edim Mesira, who tell us who the husband is and who the wife is and that there was in the Sina. So why does it even need to mention their names? But L'Chadchila we write the Shema Ish and the Shema Isha. The Ramban holds that you need Shmo Ushma in a get min haTorah, and we learn from the Pasuk Sefer Krisus, which implies Sefer Krisus Sviras Tavarim, that it has to tell the story. When you tell the story, you have to include the names, otherwise it's not a story at all. So it has to have Shmo Ushma. So that's a fundamental Machlokas Rishonim, whether these things are a requirement, Mida Oraisa or not. But anyway, the Gemara had this possibility that if you write, that if you go walk into shul and you take a Sefer Torah, so the Gemara wanted to know, is it kosher? Rav Yosef says, there's nothing to be choshesh for. Rav Yosef, my kamashmalon, what's the chiddush of Rav Yosef? Obviously, she's not divorced with Parshas Krisus that it says in the Torah. It wasn't written l'shem her gerushin from her husband. And even if it was written l'shma, it doesn't have the names of her and her husband. So shein me'milin al gabe me'milin. That the chiddush is that if it was written a full text of a get on the reverse side of the cloth somewhere, that that's not called a ksiva. That ain't me'milin al gabe me'milin. That since the cloth is pre-treated, whatever you write in May Milin is not going to be considered a valid ksiva. Now, there is a discussion in Poskim. You know, a lot of times there was a chashash, still is, unfortunately, of Sifrei Torah that gets stolen and then gets sold on the internet or whatever. So is there a way that you could just mark a Sefer Torah so that it has like a serial number or something on it that you'll always be able to look at the klaf and you'll be able to track who the owner of the Sefer Torah is? So in Shuvas Minchas Yitzchak Chel Beis in Tazvav, he talks about the different practice that Sofrim and Magiyim would have, that they would put their signature in the Sefer Torah either at the beginning or the end, and he says Yesh Lefakbek in this minhag, because the Shulchan Aruch says that even when you're mazmin a klaf for Dvarim Shebekedusha, you're not allowed to write Divrei Chol on it, and only a Tanai is going to help. Once you've been mazmin a klaf, once you designate a klaf to use for Dvarim Shebekedusha, only if you made it tonight that you should also be able to write Divrei Chol, are you allowed to write Divrei Chol? But Kuli Alma L'Pligi, once you've started writing Dvarim Shebekedusha, it wasn't just Hazman of the Alma, but you did a Maisa of starting to write, then for sure you're not allowed to write Divrei Chol on it. So the Minchas Yitzchak explains that maybe you'll bring a raya from our sugya that it's mutter, who said you give a Sefer Torah Lishto and you say Hagiteich, that we have to be Choshesh, maybe you wrote a get on that Sefer Torah as well. He says, that's not a raya that it's mutter. The Gemara is saying that if a guy did that, meaning we talk about a lot of cases where people do things that they're not supposed to do, why would you think that that's a normal thing to do? Meaning it's just talking in halacha, whether it would be valid or not. But Minchas Yitzchak says, if you need to write the name of the sofer or something else on the Sefer Torah, you need to write Nivdak or something like that, then he says we can be matir. Based on what's written in the B'nai Yonah in Yerideya, Simon Reish Pei Aleph, where he discusses that when you have a Suffolk Psula, you're not supposed to write on the Gilion of the Sefer Torah, Pasul, because if it's not a Vadai Pasul, to write the word Pasul is a Zilzil in the Sefer Torah. So if you're not sure that it's Pasul, you're not allowed to write the word Puzzle. So you see that writing the word puzzle is a zilzel. So he says, memele, it would turn out that if you write nivdak, that's a kavod of the Sefer Torah. So he says, since that's a kavod of the Sefer Torah, so you're allowed to write it. But he says, before you actually do Kriya Satorah, you should erase that. You shouldn't leave it there when you're doing the Kriya Satorah. In the Shut Chalkas Yaakov, he also talks about this, and Poskim discuss that maybe if you have it in some way, like the Aruch Gemara is talking about, on the reverse side of the cloth, where you don't see it so clearly, and there's a way to know where to check under a certain light or something like that, so you're able to track the Sefer Torah, that's for the cover of the Sefer Torah, that you'd be allowed to do that. So says Gemara now, Amar Rav Chista, get your ksava shalol l'shma. If the husband wrote get shalol l'shma, meaning not l'shem his wife that he wants to divorce her, the hevir lav kulmus l'shma. But then he goes over it again with a quill a second time, going over the letters a second time, but this time it's l'shma. So is that considered a ksiva l'shma? Meaning the question is, when you write over already existing writing, is that called ksiva? So, banan machlokas rabbi de rabbanan. That is the machlokas rabbi de rabbanan. Titania, because we have a brisa about ksiva shem Hashem. If a person had to write the Shem Hashem, but for whatever reason they got confused and they intended to write the name Yehuda and not the Shem Hashem, but they got doubly confused. They were supposed to write the Shem Hashem, they intended to write Yehuda, so they had no kavana l'shem kedusha when they were writing it. And then they left out the Dalit. So what they were left with was the Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is in fact the Shem Hashem. But it was written Shalol Lashma. So Mavril of Kulmos, so Makancho, Div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, no problem, take the quill and go over those letters again. And that will be Makadish, and it will be fine. The Chamam and the Cham say, Ein Hashem in Amuvchar. No, that's not a proper ksiva of the Shem Hashem. It's not the way that it's meant to be. The Magen Avraham writes, what's the problem? That the actual ksav is considered Menumer. Omer, it's a violation of the Anvehu. In the Keser HaSofer, he explains that the Chisaron is Mitzad HaKosuv, also that the Ksav is the problem, not the Kosev, but the Kosuv. But it's not that it's Menumar and a lack of Anvehu, but it's that it's not Mechubad to the Shem when it's written on top of a Shem Chol. To be written on top of a Shem Chol is embarrassing, is not Mechubad to the Shem Shem. Keser HaSofer is the Sefer in Safros. When a person wants to know anything about Safros, some Sofer says the Sofer is not allowed to be a Sofer unless he knows the Keser HaSofer backwards and forwards. So who wrote the Keser HaSofer? It was written by the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's very interesting. The Kitzur Shulchan Aruch wrote at least three Svarim, right? Or Shlomo Gansfried wrote the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he wrote the Keser HaSofer, and he wrote the Lechem Simla and Hilchas Nida. It is the Sefer in Safros. It is one of the most important Svarim in Hilchas Nida. As it turns out, in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, which he's most known for, is not really relied upon so much for Halacha. We have the Chayyadam, and we have Mishra Brura, and there are all these other Svarim that rely on for Halacha. So what he's most known for is probably it's a pretty important Sefer, but of the Svarim that he, you know, in terms of how we determine Psak Halacha, probably the least important of his Svarim. But anyway, so in the Kesa, it's the one he was most connected to. He left a Tzava that no one's allowed to write comments no one's allowed to publish it with Ha'aros or with comments or with other Mar Makomos. He didn't want to, of course, there are like hundreds of editions of Kitzur Shulchan Aruch with, he didn't really mean me, he didn't, you know, everyone has a reason why they do it, but he was very machmir about that. In the Teferes Yaakov, he says, no, the chisorn over here is not mitzad the kosov, it's mitzad the kosev, that he's not being mekayim the mitzvah of ksivas Hashem properly. It's only a havaras chulmus, that's not a ksiva. So anyway, but either way, the chum are holding that it's no good, that if you rewrite over the existing letters, now having in mind lishma, that is not going to be that's not going to be valid. The phrase ein Hashem min amu sounds like that they didn't possible it because it's not considered a ksiva. It's just not, it's not appropriate for the Shem Hashem to be written that way. So how can Rav Chista say that according to the Rabbanan, Havaras Kulmus is not considered ksiva legabe a get? Meaning, what's he saying? That if you do Havaras Kulmus by a get, so the Banu L'machlokas, it's the same machlokas that you have by the ksiva of the Shem Hashem with Havaras Kulmus. The Rabbanan didn't say it's not a ksiva. They just said it's not min amuvchar. So it sounds like for Shem Hashem it's no good, but it's still a ksiva. So the Rashba says that that this is l'shitas, when they said banu l'machlokas, they really meant with l'shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that they themselves hold it's not a ksiva at all, but they tined it against, meaning, I'm sorry, when the Rabbanan said that einam in amuvchar, they were talking within shitas Rabbi Yehuda. Look, we, the Rabbanan, hold it's not a ksiva b'chlal, but they tined it connected Rabbi Yehuda, even according to you that you hold it's a ksiva, at least be moda that it's inappropriate to say them in a mufkar to do that to the Shem Hashem, but there still is this fundamental machlok should be doing the Rabbanan, whether it's a ksiva b'chlal. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov disagrees with this raya from ksivas Hashem to ksivas haget. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov dumal lohi. Maybe this price is not a raya to us at all. Ad kan lo kar Rabbanan asam to be ina zekeli van veyu v'leka aval hachalo. That when did the Rabbanan say that havaras kulmus is no good and it's not a ksiva? That's dafka by a sefer Torah where you need zekeli van veyu, or when you're writing the Shem Hashem where there's this inyan of hidur mitzvah. But over here by a get, there's no inyan of hidur mitzvah, so the chum would not passel it when you don't have that same inyan of Zekeli Vanvehu. The Chassam Sofer suggests that when it comes to, even though Zekeli Vanvehu is normally only a din l'chachila, it's not something that's going to be ma'akiv b'dieved, over here it's ma'akiv b'dieved because it's on a Shem Hashem. And the Pasuk says, Zekeli Vanvehu. So because Vanvehu is in the context of Zekeli, of my God, so when you write the Shem Hashem, so that's where it's going to be Makim B'Devet. As opposed to, let's say, Lulav Tzarech Eged, if you hold that it's only Mishum Midr Mitzvah, so then it's not going to passel if you don't have it, if you don't have Agud, if you don't have a bound Dalin Minim. Amr Rav Chista, Yechom L'Mufzlinu L'Kuli Gita D'Alma. Rav Chista walked into the Beis Medrash one day and he decided to be provocative that day, so he said, I can passel everything. every get that was ever written in the history of humanity. So Amar Leih Rava, my taima, what would be your argument to pasul every get? If you want to tell me, because it says v'kasav l'sefer krisos, and it sounds like the husband has to be the one that writes the get and provides the parchment upon which the get is written, v'hacha ihi kasav leih, but nowadays it's the woman that does that pays the sofer to have the get written. So maybe the rabbanim made like a hefker based on hefker, meaning we wanted, we have her do it, because if we relied on the husband to do it, it would never get done, because he has no motivation to get it done quickly, but she doesn't want to be an aguna. So in order to make sure that she not remain an aguna, we allow her to be the one to pay the sofer and get the have the get written. Problem is, it's his responsibility. It's because of law. How does that work? So maybe it works with Efker Beis and Efker. Maybe that doesn't possibly ever get. So says the Gemara, no, the Ella Mishum Duchsiv, it must be that Rav Chista's argument to possibly get is because it says by a get, V'nasan, it says V'nasan B'yada. So you see that Nisinus a get needs to be a Nisina Chashuva, V'achalo Yav Lav Midi, but the husband doesn't give her anything of any value, because the get is not even worth a Shavar Pruta once it has all these words on it. Who would want that piece of paper? So Dilma Nisinas Geti, but maybe Vinasan doesn't mean that you're giving something that's worth a Shavu Pruta, that you're giving anything of value. Maybe it just means that you're doing a Maisa Nisina of a Get, but it doesn't have to be something of any value. And Teda, I'll bring you a Raya that Vinasan just means Nisinas Get, and it doesn't mean that you're giving anything of value. The Shulchu Mitam, because the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael sent a message to Bavel, and they said that Ksavo Al Yisurei Ano Kasher, that if you write a Get on Yisurei Ano, it's Kasher. Even though Isurei Hana, by definition, have no value, because you're not allowed to get any Hana from them. The Rashba writes in the Tshuva that in the Yerushalmi it says that Isurei Hana midrabanan are kosher to write a get on, but that which is Isurei Hana midaraisa, the get's going to be pasul. And the Rashba says, it doesn't say that anywhere in the Bavli. The Bavli just says if you write an Isurei Hana, it's kosher. It doesn't make any distinction between Isurei Hana midrabanan versus Isurei Hana daraisa. What are Isurei Hana daraisa? Bas v'chalav, kilei hakerem, Orla, what are Isurei Hana d'Rabbanan? Chametz Ravelav Pesach, Chametz Anerav Pesach, Misha Shishis, Kilei Hakerem in Chutz La'aretz, right? So you have all sorts of different types of Isurei Hana. The Bavli never makes such a chilik. So says the Rashba, yeah, but the klal is, if the Bavli is silent about something and the Yerushalmi says something, we pass on like the Yerushalmi. It's an important line in Tshuvas HaRashba where he says it must be that we pass on that way. The Me'iri over here, however, writes, Mistimas HaGemar, it sounds like all Isurei Hana is going to be kasha the garishbo, and therefore even Isurei Hana d'Oraisa. The Stimas HaBavli is more authoritative than that which is Mefurash in the Yerushalmi. So it's really a Kloliastik of Machlokas between the Rashba and the Meiri over here. How do we handle when the Bavli doesn't really explicitly address something and the Yerushalmi does? So anyway, Gufa, Shalchum Itam, going back to that discussion, they sent a message for Eretz Yisrael, Ksaval Yisrael not kosher, that if you write again in Yisrael not, it's kosher. So I'm Ravashi, Afan Anami Tanina, we have a Mishnah where we have a raya to that, because it says Allah shel zayis. The Mishnah says that you can write a get on anything, including Allah shel zayis. Allah shel zayis isn't worth anything, so you see that the paper parchment doesn't have to have any value. It says Marano Dilma Shiny Allah shel zayis to Chazal Tsarufei. Maybe an Allah shel zayis is different, because if you have enough Alim shel zayis, then they will be worth a Shavar Pruta. It's animal fodder. It could be used for other things. Perhaps you can make a nice mat out of it if you attach enough of them together. So maybe that's a, but Yisurei Hana has zero value. So no matter how many Yisurei Hana you put together, it's still worth zero plus zero plus zero. It's still going to be zero. Tanya, Rebbe Omer Ksava al Yisurei Hana kosher. That Rebbe said, if you write an Yisurei Hana, it's kosher. Nafak Levi Dorsha Mishmeid Rebbe. So Levi was so excited by this teaching that he heard that if you write an Yisurei Hana, it's kosher. He went out and he darshened it in the name of Rebbe, Velo Kilsua. But the Chachamim, no one accepted it. No one was being Mekabel, this psak. So he decided he's going to change his strategy. Mishmei de Rabbim. So instead, he started saying it in the name of the Rabbim, saying that all the Chachamot that are writing Yisurei Hana, it's kosher. Vikilsua. And then all the people who listened were accepting it and they were praising it. So Alma Hilchsekav say, it must be that we paskin that way. Because you're allowed to write on Yisurei Hana. Because the Magen Avraham writes, what was he doing? How is he allowed to just go say it in the name of Rabbim? So there's a famous Magen Avraham, Simukufnan Vav, in Archaim, Simukufnan Beis, where he says, that if you know something to be the halacha and no one seems to be accepting it, so you could just go around saying that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein said it, then they'll accept it. So you're allowed to make up that someone much more authoritative had said it. He brings a raya from a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Kuf Yud Beis, Imratzisa Lichanek Hitla Ba'adam Gadol, that if you want, you can be told about Adam Gadol. So Stechemet has a long discussion of this, and he brings a raya from our sugya that you're allowed to lie in order that there'll be Makabel a halacha from you. But some suggest that no, the Gemara brings this originally, where do we get this from? Sholchu Mitam, that they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel with this halacha. So it actually was from a group of Chachamim. It's just that Levi initially heard it just from Rebbe, so he was going out saying it in the name of Rebbe. But it wasn't dishonest to say that it all actually came from Chachamim, because it did come from Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. Tanu Rabbanu, v'kasav v'lo chakak. It says v'kasav, which means that you can't engrave a get. You need a ksiva, ink on parchment. L'meimer d'chakik alav ksivi. Do you mean to tell me that engraving is not considered ksiva? Or meaning, I'll ask you a stira. Evet sheyatzu b'ksav shal gabe tavla. If an evet has a shtar shechru that's written on a tavla, which is on a board of wood, upinkas, or a piece that has board that has wax on it that you can engrave writing into the wax, yatzal cheirus, he goes free. Avalo b'ksav shal gabe kippa v'andukhtari, but not a ksav that's on a piece of cloth where they just take a thread and run it along the cloth to create a ksav. Because if you take that thread and you run it over the surface of the cloth, it's attached at the ends, but in the where the length of the thread is not really attached on the textile itself, so it's not really written on something. So that wouldn't be good. But apparently on a tavla, on a piece of wood, how do you write on a piece of wood? You etch into the piece of wood. Apparently that's considered a valid ksiva. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula, Amar Blazer, Lo Kasha, Hadachak Tochos, Hadachak Yerechos, that when the first price says that a get is possible if it's chakuk, that's talking about where the letters are created by engraving, by carving the area around the letters. That's going to be possible because you didn't do anything to the letters themselves. Whereas when we said that it's kosher, it's when you engrave the letters themselves, when you scrape in the actual shapes of the letters. So it's frankly Gemara, Vitochos Lo, if you engrave around the letters, is that not a good ksiva? Or a mini, I'll ask you a student from a different price that talks about the tzitz that the Kohen Gadol would wear, and it says, Lo, ayuk savo shokea ela bolet kidinarezov, vadinarezov toch, the dinarezov tochos, saying that we said that the tzitz had the writing on the tzitz protruded. It was not engraved deeper into the gold. It protruded out of the gold, just like dinari zav, where the image on the coin protrudes out. And how did they make the image of the coin? They press down the area around it. They don't do the image anything on the place where the image itself is. So don't you see that tzitz is considered kasuv, even though it's chak tochos? So says Mark, dinari zav, velo kedinari zav. No, the tzitz in some way is similar to dinari zav, but it wasn't actually produced the same way dinari zav are produced. Kedinari zav debolate. It's similar to dinari zav in that it protrudes, but velo kedinari zav dilu hasam tochos hacha yirechos. But unlike dinari zav, it's not produced by manipulating the area around it, but rather by manipulating the place where the letters themselves are. From the reverse side, they would just push it through and create the letters. Amrle Ravina le Ravashi, Rushma Michras Charitz o Kinufi Machnif. If you have a signet that where the shape is already in the stamp and they press the stamp down, so how do we assume that works? Do we assume that when it produces the coin with the image on it, that the sides are pressed down and that's what makes the image protrude? Or do we assume that no, that the image itself is pressed forward and that's how they make a coin? Samlei Michratz Charetz, he says that they're dochek the gold around it into the tzura that's inside of it, and the tzura is bolit me'eleha, so it's chak tochos. So get that's written through such a prefabbed piece, plate that you press down on something is not going to be kosher. So Esve, so they ask on Rav Ashi from a Braisa, Loik Sava Shokeya Alabolit Kedinor Zav, Visak Daitach Mechras Charetz, that the Sava Nitzit was bolded like Dinor Zav, but if you hold Mechras Charetz, Habi in Mechtav Aleka, isn't that not considered a Mechtav? Because isn't it that you haven't handled the letters themselves? You haven't, the letters were not written by manipulating the area where the letters themselves are. So Kedinor Zav, below Kedinor Zav. No, once again, similar to Dinor Zav, but not equivalent, not totally like Dinor Zav. It's like the tzitz is like Dinor Zav in that the letters protrude, but the tzitz is not like Dinor Zav entirely, because when it comes to a matbeya, so it's migavai, it's from the inside of the dinar around the, that they press around the tzura so that the tzura is bolate. Whereas by the osios of the tzitz, it's meavrai, it's from the outside of the tzitz on the reverse side of where the part that's actually resting on the Meitzach of the Kohen Gadol, where they push out the letters. So that's why it protrudes. What if he writes a get on a piece of gold and he says, here's your get and your ksuba payment, because gold is valuable. So mahu, is she in fact divorced and the chov ksuba paid up as well? So I'm laying the skabel gitav and the skabel ksuba. Say, yeah, that for sure works. It's she received her get and she received her ksuba. So Esvei Rava challenges this. We learned in the Braisa that if the husband writes a get on a tas shel zav and it was the tas was much larger than the get needed to be, and he says the skabel gitach vashar l'ksuba seich, that here's your get and the excess gold that's on that it's written on, the excess gold should be for your ksuba. So niskabligita vashal ksubasa, then the get part is her get and the rest is the payment for her ksuba. Ooh, taimadika shar haleka shar lo, that sounds like it's only because they didn't use up the entire space of the gold for the writing, that there was excess that they're using for the ksuba. But if there was no excess, it sounds like the space where the writing itself is not considered a ksuba payment. So it says, no, well, then I've got the lekashar. Even the spot where the ksuba is written is considered to be, where the get is written, rather, is considered to be the ksuba payment. V'akamashmalam, the chiddush over there by the shar is avgav dikashar iyamar la'in ilolo, that even though there's excess gold, it only is going to be considered a ksuba payment if he told her that it's intended as ksuba payment. But if he didn't tell her that he's intending the rest of it to be the ksuba payment, then it's not. My time avir de megiltu, because we just assume that it's a big piece of paper. Sometimes you have a big piece of paper and you just write a little note on a big piece of paper. So this is a big piece of gold and he just wrote a little note. We don't assume that that's the payment of the ksuba. Tan Rabban, hareza gitech v'niyar shali eina megreshes. So if a guy says, here's your get, but I want the paper. The paper's mine. I'm not giving you the paper. It's eina megreshes. But if he says, al menas tachziri li es niyar, I'm giving you this get, al menas that you return the niyar to me after the gerushin, harezo megreshes. Then if she taka returns it, she's megreshes, because she fulfilled the tanaya, and it's mispar and lafreya, that she was megreshes mishas nesina. Bayra papa, ben shita l'shita ben teva l'teva mai. What if he says, hareza gitech, but the paper that's in between each line or each word of the get, that's still mine. So what's the halacha in such a case? So take it. The Gemara is not sure what to do with that. Shouldn't it be obvious that that's no good? Because if he's keeping the paper in between the letters, in between the lines, he's not giving her a single get. He's giving her, you know, if you were to cut out all that paper and give it back to him, she would just have a bunch of Scrabble letters, right? And it wouldn't be, that's not a get. She needs to have one sefer. So it's written in such a way where he had the legs of all the kufs go down into the, you know, the tess underneath it, and the roofs of the lamids, you know, went up into the line. So there was no way to cut in between. Even if you were to cut in between, the lines would still be connected. It would look funny. It would be like dangling a little bit, but you would still have one single piece of parchment. So it would still be considered a sefer echad and not shnayim u'shlosha svarim. Let's say everyone knew that there was a particular eved that belonged to the husband, and get kasval yada, and there was a get written on the hand of the eved. And all of a sudden, she's got this eved with the get written on him. So mahu, is she believed to say that the husband gave the eved to her and that she's divorced? Do we assume that the husband was makna the eved, or do we assume the eved went on his own? So Amrav of a table. Anyway, it should be a problem. You write on a magic marker on an eved skin, anyone could just erase it and write whatever else they want there, because it's very easily erased when you write on skin. Well, what's Rava going to do with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah also spoke about writing a get on a Yad Shel Eved. So if you're troubled by this, you should be troubled by our Mishnah. Well, Bishlam Asnisa, the Rava Lokasha Beide Masira, Rav Lazar. No, because he's assuming that there were Eide Masira in the Mishnah, and we're assuming that Rav Lazar is Eide Masira Karti. So you can't be Mazayif because the Eide Masira see it. El Rabbi Bar Chama Kasha, but according to Rabbi Bar Chama, how could you write on an Eved? So the Rabbi Bar Chama Nami Lokasha, but Ksuvas Kaka. According to Rabbi Bar Chama, it's also not a problem. Who says that it's Yachal is Daif? Maybe it's Ksuvas Kaka. It's a tattoo that they tattooed onto the Eved. Tosus points out, but you're not allowed to tattoo onto people. So he says, okay, not everyone's a big mitzvah boy and doing everything right. I mean, just because you're not supposed to do it, it doesn't mean that it's not a case in the Gemara. The bigger kash that the Rishonim deal with is Gemara and Tmura, that anything you're not allowed to do is ineffective. If you assume like that shita, that yavad lo mahani, then it should be an invalid get, because it should be ineffective, that it's not considered a ksiva. Okay, anyway, once we come to this conclusion that it's possible that it's tattooed, then you don't have a problem with, you don't have to say the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Lazar and Eidi Masira. Anyway, the Mishnah is not Ksav Sheyachul is Daif because it's Ksav Iskaka. So my Avila, how do we postulate the subject of Rabbi Bar Chama by a get that's written on an Eved, and we see all of a sudden everyone knew this Eved belonged to the man, and all of a sudden the woman has it? Do we assume that the man was Makneiter? So Tashma Damrei Shlakish Hagodra Sein Lein Chazaka. That when you have living beings, living animals, we don't assume that there's a Chazaka, that whoever has it was really the rightful owner of those living creatures, because they could move on their own. They maybe wandered into the person's field, and that's why the person has it. The same is true with an Eved. Maybe he just wandered into the woman's house as opposed to the husband having given it to her. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.